This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. The Raleigh Police Department has released footage of the pursuit and non-fatal shooting of 26-year-old Javier Torres near a Raleigh strip mall Tuesday night. The dash and body cam footage appears to show that Torres was armed when he ran toward an officer. The incident is the latest in a string of police-involved shootings in Raleigh in recent years, and Rusty Jacobs, WNC's politics reporter, has been following the story and joins me now. Rusty, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Anita.
So for those who haven't seen the footage, can you describe what the footage shows?
Right. So there are three body cam videos from three officers that were involved in this, and there's some dash cam video as well. But essentially, when you first see the dash cam video, you see a person who turned out to be Javier Torres, 26-year-old man in a white T-shirt and jeans, walking away from the police who were clearly pursuing him holding what looked like a pizza box. He then breaks into a run. And then from each vantage point, the body cam footage shows the foot chase, two officers following Torres towards like a trailer park near this strip mall along New Bern Avenue in Raleigh, two of them from behind. Another officer proceeded to go and ended up right in front of Torres as he rounded a hedge near this trailer park. And the video that was edited by the Raleigh Police Department to highlight, to slow it down, shows Torres coming around this hedge with what looks like a gun in his right hand, and he encounters the officer. That officer shot once, hit him in the abdomen, and he falls to the ground. And you can hear in some of the video him saying, I'm unarmed. And then the police proceed to actually assist him because of the wound he suffered.
And they do identify that there is a gun nearby him on the ground.
That's right. You hear one of the officers as he's pursuing Torres from behind saying, drop the gun, drop the gun. You actually hear multiple officers saying, drop the gun, drop the gun.
Okay, so if you want to see this footage, it is at our website, stateofthings.org. So as of this morning, Torres is in the hospital. He is in stable condition. What are the charges against him at this point?
Faces three charges. One is going armed to the terror of the public. Imagine just waving a gun around in a threatening manner in the public area. Also charged with resist, delay, and obstruct, a misdemeanor, resisting arrest, essentially, and also removing or altering the serial number on a gun.
Okay. So the footage was released last night. Take us back to Tuesday when the incident happened. There were a lot of rumors on social media refuting the police department's official statement that Torres was armed. There was a big protest downtown. There were threats directed at shopkeepers in the mall where the call originated. So take us back to Tuesday night. What happened and what does this say kind of about how the community feels about the police right now?
Well, this happened in Southeast Raleigh, and it's an area of a lot of police attention in Raleigh. It is an area of high crime. It's certainly an area where there's large pockets of communities of color. It's strained, and there's a police presence. You heard me say that Torres was first seen walking away from the police with what looked like a pizza box. That was one of the rumors that this was all over a stolen pizza that it involved a black unarmed teen shot in the back, in some cases multiple times. And if you look at the thread, the long thread of posts in the immediate aftermath of this incident, that's the picture that is portrayed. It turned out he was 26 years old and was, in fact, or at least according to what the body cam seems to show, armed with a gun. But protests immediately materialized, and you had groups of people in the streets in Raleigh going to the chief's, Raleigh police chief's home, going to the governor's mansion where an American flag was taken down and burned. People clearly angry over what they thought was a case of excessive force.
And this is coming on the heels of other recent controversies with the Raleigh police and other North Carolina law enforcement departments. So paint a picture of that, kind of the tension that had been bubbling already before this incident.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was talking to this vape shop store clerk right near where Torres was first spotted. He knew him as a frequent patron. And this guy, Luke Acefa, told me, he said, it's just really sad. And he was talking about the fact that just in January, Keith Dutry Collins was shot with what he ended up being armed only with a BB gun. But he was shot and a few days later died after being shot by a Raleigh police officer. You go back to a year ago in the same strip mall, Sohail Mojarrad was ordered by by a Raleigh police officer to drop a knife. He failed to heed that order and was shot and killed by an officer who, even though his body cam wasn't operating, he was cleared of any wrongdoing. You go back to the Kyron Hinton arrest and beating by a Wake County deputy and some state troopers. And so you have this string of incidents that have heightened tension, certainly in areas like Southeast Raleigh, where there's a lot of contact, not always good, between the communities and the police officers.
Yeah, and we have listeners out in Asheville, too, and there was another incident around Johnny Jermaine Rush in Asheville, an alleged jaywalker. So these conversations are building, and what have they led to in Raleigh? Are there moves toward more accountability, moves toward more access to be able to talk about these questions of excessive force?
Well, I'll first say that Raleigh, like any police department, has a lot of community outreach programs. They've got a program where they interact with faith leaders in the communities. They have sports programs. And now Raleigh, the city council has put in place an advisory board. It's a 7-member board. It's being constituted now. The members would include a civil rights attorney, a victims advocate, an appointee by the police chief, an LGBT community member, and they're going to be constituted to review policy and guidelines and assume in response to incidents like this to make sure that the police department has good policies in place. Just a year ago, it should be noted that the Human Rights Commission in Raleigh had wanted to initiate the formation of a civilian advisory board. At one point, the Raleigh police chief had come out opposed to that, saying that she had concerns that it would hinder police operations. Nonetheless, I spoke with a Raleigh police spokeswoman today. They are fully on board and fully cooperating with the formation of this advisory board.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. To find out more about this story, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org, where we have links to all of Rusty's reporting. Rusty, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.